if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. This is our 2023 Genesis Invitational and Thailand Classic Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website with in-depth betting previews. Strokes gained analysis for the Genesis Invitational, tournament form statistics, and we've got PGA Tour and DP World Tour predictor models. All of these features, like this podcast, are completely free of charge with no paywall. We're on Twitter. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available, along with my weekly golf betting show. If you do listen to this podcast on the YouTube channel, please press the like button because it all helps push that channel in the right direction. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. We've had a review, chaps. We've got one to read out. I will say, again, we're quite low on reviews, so if you could spend the time this week sending us a 5-star review, like... we've got this guy here. He's our biggest fan in Tennessee. He took the time last week to write us a review, so that's great. So, yeah, if you could do that, it'd be great. Like Being at the Pub is the title. 5 stars. Gents, I love the show. It's fun and informative. Like hanging out with my favourite foursome at the pub. Keep up the great work. Your biggest fan in Tennessee. P.S., Xander will win the Masters this year. And that is from MCT777, our biggest fan in Tennessee.
Fantastic.
I love that. Sure. I'm totally with everything he says except for the Masters. We're kind of on the Homa train for the Masters. But otherwise, love
it. Not the Xander train.
No, not yet. I have to be convinced otherwise. His drop was a bit funky last week, wasn't it? I thought the one that Scheffler got on 16, where he was allowed to take his first drop so close that if the ball bounced and moved like an inch or two backwards, he was going to get to place it because he'd get too close to the stand with a swing. Like, why is there not a rule that says you have to take like extra distance away? So if the ball does bounce, like let's say up to a club length from where it drops, you're still outside of the zone of being able to hit the stands. But that means he doesn't get to place it.
Yeah, just move the angle slightly, perhaps.
It was very clever. I mean, it was clever by him. He used the rules perfectly.
Paul just kept hopping backwards.
Yeah. Oh, no, look, it's bouncing backwards. Place it. Cheers.
I'll just pick it and place it right here. Yeah, fantastic up and down in the end, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what broke Nick Taylor in the end.
Scheffler's up and down from there. He's so solid. Oh my god, it never looked like it was going to be anybody else's.
Mm.
Did you get that feeling at all on Sunday night?
No, well, it's kind of reminiscent. Well, clearly reminiscent of how he was playing 12 months ago, and he kind of lost that for a bit. Latter end of last year, but back to world number one now, rightly or wrongly, playing some great stuff.
I've never known a system whereby, or a time in golf where world number one's being handed around every week.
Mm.
It's almost becoming meaningless. It's crazy. I think that's good. It just shows you where golf's at. You've got high quality players that are so close in talent. Scheffler's like that, isn't he? It's like when he wins that world match play. It's like every game, it's like, oh, no one's getting close to the guy. Mm. He just seems to, if he has a bad hole, he miraculously scrambles, gets up and down, par. And the next shot, you know, it's to 2 feet and he's popping in a birdie or an eagle. Mm. His Masters win was very much like that. I know Cam Smith was hanging around with him, but it was all too easy for Scheffler, really.
Yeah, and his short game was immense as well. And when he pieces it all together, he is he's a fantastic player. It's simple as that. What about Ricky, then?
I thought it was a good week. It's disappointing on Sunday to not have a round as deep scoring as the guys who finished right at the very top. But like for me, he got a place. I went with the 12 places on 365, so I was okay with that. I mean, the swing looks great. Off the tee is his issue at the moment, but you know, if he can figure that out, wow! Like be hard to, you know, you think the win could be coming.
Yeah, he's not a million miles away, is he? No, we were all on him last week, so you were the only one to have the foresight to actually take enough places to get a return on him. Steve and I just missed out, having gone eight places each way. But, after he made that ace early on in the final round, it looked like something magical could happen from there. You know, we were having a conversation over the weekend, and I said to you, Barry, that, you know, I'd want Fowler, you know, four shots, four shots off the lead gives him a chance, because he's the kind of player that can go out and shoot a fantastic low round with, you know, a little bit of the pressure off and potentially come through and win a tournament like that. But still just too many little mistakes. As you say, off the tee, there's that wild drive that was OB and a few too many 5 or 6 footers missed over the course of... the weekend and the week, really. So,
And he was still positive for strokes gained putting by a good margin. He was +1 for the week. So,
yeah,
there's we're trying not to get overhyped here. Let's just cool it down for a second. It's good to see him back, and it's good to see Jason Day back as well, seemingly injury free. Like they're interesting golfers to watch. So, very happy that's where we're at right now.
Yep. No, can't argue with that. And you got a bit of Sung Jae-in back, Steve, in the end.
I wasn't overly happy with last week. I had three players right in the mix and ended up with a slither of each way returns. Just, it's the kind of week that does your head in, really.
Mm.
I'm just looking at where Ricky could win coming up. I know Barry's got some thoughts for this week. He seems to play the Honda Classic every year. He's actually won that.
Yeah.
He's good at Bay Hill.
Yeah, he likes a classical track, doesn't he?
And he's also played last 3 or 4 years, the week before the Masters.
Mm.
I mean, he hasn't played the Masters recently. So he's had 2 17th place finishes at the Valero Texas Open. See, that to me is where Spieth came back a couple of years ago, wasn't it? I was on him that week. He actually broke that winless run.
Yeah.
That Valero Texas Open, where it's a weaker field, less pressure. I know Butch Harmon, he's absolutely confident that Ricky wins this season.
Yep.
He's picking your poison. And the trouble is, you'll get to the Valero Texas Open and Ricky Fowler will be 25-1. Everyone will be going, I'm backing Ricky Fowler at 25-1. People will get price proud, and guess what happens? Ricky comes in at 25-1.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, with the last two events with Torrey Pines and just the week gone, I'm free rolling on him at this stage. So I'm going to light him up again this week.
Especially at the price. Mm. Why wouldn't you?
He's got bigger. Spoiler alert, Barry. Yeah. But that's just testament to the quality of the field, isn't it?
I'm not going to talk about it. I suppose let's talk about yours as well. I managed to get Marcel Schneider on an each-way spot last week.
Yeah, you did.
In Singapore. Yeah. What happened to this tough technical golf course that you were? No, it's going to be like TPC Sawgrass from 2007, apparently. And then they were shooting 9 under in round one.
It was going to be like Valderrama on steroids. Yeah, the beast wasn't quite so beastly after all, was it?
The beast was European toured.
It was a bit more like the pussycat than the beast. Yeah, I mean, those soft conditions made it more scoreable. But if you put into context that the previous course record was 67, then 16 players equaled or bettered that on the first day alone. I mean, that's just crazy. Ludicrous, isn't it? But yeah, Ockie Stradham shot 63 on Sunday to win. That's his second win in just six starts. He won at Leopard Creek back in December and had been really off the boil since. I listened to an interview afterwards and he said that his game had just kind of fallen to pieces after that, and he had a really bad week last week and pulled his coach in. And now whatever they worked on, got him into contention. Then he went and shot 9 under on Sunday and won. I mean, simple as that. But yeah, two quick fire wins for Ockie. You know, his career's taken a massive upwards trajectory in the last few weeks. Yeah, nothing doing for mine. Well done on Schneider. Got that lovely eagle on the last to sneak into the places, which was good. Adrian Ategu is my biggest hope. He wasn't quite on the pace all week. He shot a 66 to close, which kind of improved his overall finishing position, but nowhere near the places in the end. And yeah, you write it off. 19 under wasn't what I was expecting by any stretch. I don't think any of the kind of observers of golf and those who'd done a reasonable amount of homework on last week expected the scoring to be anywhere near as deep as that, even in the conditions. So yeah, resign that one to the waste paper basket, shall we?
If they play there next year, you know what'll happen, don't you? It'll be like the beast again. They're five under will win.
Yeah, I can imagine if it was firm, fast, or a bit of wind, then you would quickly revert back to those kind of scores. But yeah, as you said, it would been European toured or DP World toured.
Right. Before we move on to this week, we have two events. Of course, the huge Genesis Invitational, where Tiger Woods returns. And we've also got the Thailand Classic on the DP World Tour. Just wanted to mention our Bet365-sponsored majors competition. There is a link in the description of this podcast. This is the last week of the West Coast Swing. We move to Florida, chaps, next week. And once you get to Florida, you can almost see Augusta over the horizon. So get your entries in for the majors competition. That would be fantastic. Also, I want to mention bookmaker of the week. Got to focus really on the Genesis Invitational, the PGA Tour golf action. Bet365, as ever, each way extra markets available, which give you the option to increase or decrease the number of places when you are betting pre-event on the Genesis Invitational. As Barry said earlier, he used the 12 places each way market for Ricky Fowler. Paul and I decided to take the 8 places each way market, and we ended up with no return whatsoever, and Barry ended up with a return. So this is the beauty of it. You can choose what you want to do. Again, like an absolute plum that I am, I've used the 8 places each way at Fifth Odds Market specifically this week. Now, as I record this podcast, they are offering market best odds and 8 places each way. Oh, listen to this, guys. You've got McIlroy at 10-1, JT at 16s, Xander and Tony at 18-1, Max Homer, the Genesis Hogan's Alley Whisperer at 20-1, Colin Morikawa 22-1, Patrick Cantlay and Victor Hovland at 28-1, and Ricky Fowler is 75-1, 8 places each way, a 50 odds with each way extra. He's as short as 40-1 with Paddy Power right now. We recommend Bet365. If you are 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account, you can find details of their current bet £10. Get £50 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in the podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code SPORT50 when registering. 75-1 on Ricky Fowler this week. You have to say that is a tempting bet, especially, and I'm going to start in a different position this week. Bearing in mind, this tournament's always loaded. It's always got a high-quality field. Genesis Invitational winners and their odds. 75-1 Joaquin Neiman last year on a Monday show. 75-1. Homer, 60-1. Scott, 33-1. Holmes, 150-1. Bubba Watson, when he won this for the third time, was 50-1. If I go back in time, back to when they split the PGA Tour, it's a 71-1 odds average of the winner. And if you go back to 2010, 81-1 is the average winning price of this event. There's only been one winner at single-digit odds, and that was Dustin Johnson in 2017. I was on board 9-1. So someone like a Ricky Fowler at 75-1 is in a particularly sweet spot this week. Particularly sweet in terms of betting odds. We are playing the Riviera Country Club. Pretty much, you know, this is a week, year in, year out tournament. 7,322 yards. A lot of people will know the details. I classify this as a classical golf course. I also classify it as medium in length. 7,322 yards as a par 71. No water in play. Fairways are Kikuyu grass. The rough is Kikuyu grass, 2 inches in length. The greens are quite large, 7,500 square feet. They feature Poana. So the initial, you know, the thing that just jumped straight off the page, Poana greens, Kikuyu grass, rough and fairways. Very, very similar setup to what we get at Torrey Pines. I grab my sheet. Joaquin Neiman had finished sixth at Torrey Pines before winning this. Max Homer had finished ninth. And then, of course, last couple of weeks ago, went on to win at Torrey Pines. Adam Scott finished second at Torrey Pines, has won this. JB Holmes has had a second, a fourth, and a sixth at Torrey Pines. Won this at 150-1. So that link between Torrey Pines and here is absolutely cast iron. Very, very strong. It's a clear an old style classical golf course. It's actually a Fazio redesign. We have a Tom Fazio variable in the predictor model this week. So if you want to look at players that have played best on Fazio courses over the last 5 years, go to the predictor model. Just click on the Fazio throttle and you can see players that have got a great Fazio record. Very undulating. You know, there's connotations here with Augusta, undoubtedly. But it tends to boil down to the player that plays best around the 12 looks at the par fives this week. Very, very strong correlation between those that absolutely scored superbly on the par fives and the actual winners here. So it might be worth a squeak at looking at some kind of par five scoring numbers. The only one that bucked that trend, you won't be surprised here, was JB Holmes in 2019. But Joaquin Neiman last year, he shot an incredible 19 under, which I think was a tournament record. He shot 10 under on the par fives. Max Homer shot 11 under on the par fives and won with an 11 under total. So, no. It's dominating the par fives this week that's ultimately the key. We also worked through, Barry, didn't we? We think that this golf course suits a cut when you ran through the holes earlier.
Just a quick eye test.
A left to right shot show.
Sorry, yeah, Matt? for risk of being corrected. Yeah, it looked like the eye tests on just looking at it. It feels like a fade is a little bit more comfy off the tee. How many guys out there hit a big draw anymore?
Well, these days, this is the point, isn't it? Not very few.
Like they're
most have run to a stock shot, haven't they, in the fade?
Just that, more control. Yeah, a baby fade, like that little just 5-yard, 10-yard bleeder.
Yeah, a lot of the holes are relatively straight, aren't they? So if you, I don't think straight is a bad place to be here. But then you look at Bubba, who's doesn't play a straight shot, and he's got a fantastic record here, hasn't he? So I think there's plenty of different ways to navigate your way around here. You know, perhaps a bit of imagination doesn't hurt. But yeah, if you've got a straight player who's finding fairways, then I don't mean that's a terrible starting point.
I do say in my commentary, where Phoenix last week tends to be more of a bomber's golf course. Yeah, Scotty Scheffler one. He's hardly short. You can gain strokes off the tee this week by being moderately long and dead straight. So I think short players are in play, but you know, even though you say that, I mean, Neiman, Homer, Scott, Holmes, Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, they tend to be within the top 40 to 50 for driving distance season in, season out, those names.
Yeah.
Well, they did when they were playing on the PGA Tour in the case of Wacky Neiman. I think fairly long off the tee, high ball flight. That can't be a bad look this week. Correlating courses, it's fairly obvious. Just go for other classical courses. As we've already said, Torrey Pines, Muirfield Village, where they play Jack's Tournament, Colonial Country Club. They play that in the Texas Swing. There's definitely a link with Quail Hollow. JB Holmes has won at Quail. Max Homer's won at Quail. Adam Scott's had a third at Quail. Now, none of this is earth-shattering. And if you look at Homer, he'd finished fifth here before he won. Scott had finished first, second, and second before he won the second time. And JB Holmes had a third, a sixth, a seventh, and an eighth. I mean, it's pretty gilt-edged stuff. Joaquin Neiman didn't have a top 10, but I think he'd been second or third after 36 holes in 2021 before winning in 2022. So he'd shown signs that he liked the golf course. I wouldn't be surprised as well. I looked at the TPC Potomac leaderboard from last year, and there was a lot of favourable names in there, the first being Max Homer, who we were all on that week. I think Rory finished fourth. There was a lot of players that you've seen at the top of leaderboards here at Riviera and that TPC Potomac renewal of the Wells Fargo last year.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a bad look, because that was a relatively claustrophobic, mid-length, tough driving golf course. And it was particularly high scoring that week. I think Homer won at 6 or 7 under.
Yeah.
In terms of conditions, it's going to be pretty standard. I've been saying this for weeks, but Windfinder for sort of whatever does not seem to be able to actually pick up a wind forecast at the moment. I mean, it said it was going to be quiet at Phoenix last week, and all of a sudden it was gusting 30 miles an hour on Thursday. This week, again, it's saying calm. But what we have had here, and this came through on the Greenkeeper's sheet, they've had masses of rain here over January and February. So I'm not getting overly excited about this is going to be one of those tournaments where they drive it off the tee and the ball stops on the fairways. I don't think we're going to see that, because it hasn't rained here for a good 2 to 3 weeks. But that level of rain that they've had, which were supposedly historical levels of rain in January up to the middle of February, must have had a longer term impact on that golf course. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's just a little bit lusher and a little bit softer than we tend to see here, because it can get very, very quick around this golf course. And there was apparently the risk of a shower today, Tuesday, as well. That happened last year with Neiman. I think they had literally about 6 or 7 mils on the Tuesday, building up to the Thursday start. Just took the fire out of the course. And he goes and shoots 63 across Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
To be sitting there at 16 under going into the weekend.
Yeah.
And then pretty much just sat there and played par golf, one at 19 under par. No one can get close to the bloke.
Just tread water from there, can you?
Yeah. Right. I've gone for 5 this week. And I've gone for price points that are 22 to 1, 30 to 1, 35, 75 and 90. And I don't, you know, I'm struggling to chase one of the real shorties this week with a historical record that we see at this tournament year in, year out. My first bet, and I've been here so bloody many times before, and Paul, you love doing this, don't you? You bang up a player one week and then you leave him the next and lo and behold, the guy just turns up and wins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I nearly got the week after right as transatlantic double last week. Sammy Valimaki and Nick Taylor, I'd backed the week before, both right in the mix, both events. That would have broken me, I think.
I've gone for Colin Morikawa again. He was second here last year. He just, to me, is the sort that could win this. I mean, I'm looking at our strokes gained analysis, which is available in the description box. Cam Young at 1, Victor Hovland at 2, Max Homer 3, Scott 4. He's had 28 rounds around here, Adam Scott, and he sits 4th for strokes gained total. That's crazy. These numbers go back to 2016, don't they, Paul?
Yep.
John Rahm, 5. Wyndham Clark, 6. Xander, 7. Patrick Cantlay, 8. Colin Morikawa, 9. Rory McIlroy, 10. So that strokes gained total ranks in this field at Riviera Country Club since 2016. And it's just, I get the feeling with Morikawa, he must be getting, it must be frustrating. You know, it'd be interesting to see what comes out of this Netflix documentary because Morikawa was on there. This was a guy that hit the scene. He was winning WGCs. He won a major, you know, in pretty much his first season on the PGA Tour. He's won the Open, but he hasn't won now for going on for 16 months. And that's the kind of player I'm looking for this week. Someone that hasn't won for a while, an elite player that must have all eyes just purely set on performing to his maximum ability this week. There's none of this, oh, Augusta's round the corner, not sure, you know, about peaking for that. Anything to do with that. Morikawa just wants to win. And yeah, he's not the longest off the tee, but what Morikawa is, and I think that's what suits him here, he's absolutely arrow straight. He's medium in length. I probably miscalculated putting him up last week at Phoenix, which is more of a bomber's course. I think this is going to suit him far more. And even last week, he was still very, very positive off the tee, very, very positive on approach. And typically with Colin, he was absolutely atrocious around the greens and couldn't putt for toffee. Missed the cut. But, you know, that's Phoenix. That's people screaming at you and hurling abuse at you, and that might not suit Colin. That this week, back to a standard golf tournament on a course that that he's got plenty of experience on. He was born in Los Angeles. So there you go. You've even got that local tie. He's an LA guy. Doing well here this week, I think, is something that's going to be very, very important to him. And don't forget, a winner at Muirfield Village and TPC Harding Park up at San Francisco in 2020. He gets on well with Poana. Wasn't he third or fourth the other week at Torrey Pines, which for me, I think at 7-7 is ultimately a bit too long for Morikawa.
Yeah.
I think this is right in his wheelhouse, mate. Right in his wheelhouse. And actually, you look at a lot of those wins. I mean, he won the Open off of finishing, I think it was like 69th the week before at the Scottish Open. He doesn't mind doing badly the week before and then winning the week after. That's something that is a pattern with Colin Morikawa. So yeah, 22 to 1 I got on. I was quite happy with that price. We bet 3, 6, 5, 8 places each way.
Yeah, he's got that habit of finding a way to correct what the issue was the week before and quickly correct it and then come back. He's a top quality player, isn't he, Morikawa? There's no question of that whatsoever.
Another player I remember here, and I've gone for him as my second price. Again, these are all with bet 3, 6, 5, 8 place each way, so I won't keep repeating myself. I got 30-1 on Sam Burns, and I can remember Sam Burns here 2 years ago doing a kind of wacky Neiman and leading by 5 going into Saturday. And it was just interesting with Burns last week, wasn't he? On a golf course that he had absolutely no history on, Scottsdale.
Yep.
All of a sudden, Saturday, bang, 64, 68 on the Sunday. If you actually cume up those two scores, he tied with Justin Thomas and Nick Taylor for the best weekend scoring. So, yeah, Sam Burns. Again, another player that, for me, will be hungry. The other thing I like about Burns is you look where he's won. Twice at Copperhead, par 71, medium length, 7,300 yards plus. He's won twice there. That, again, is a tough golf course, Copperhead. And he seemed to navigate round there and just win those two tournaments. And last year, his last win, May 2022, he stared down Scotty Scheffler in a playoff and won at Colonial Country Club. So for me, tree-lined, old-style courses is where Burns actually comes to the party. He's far more of a classical... Well, his results so far are far more classical positive than they are desert golf positive. So, yeah, I thought 32... I mean, he's been found out. He was 55-1, I believe, last week at Scottsdale. They've pretty much halved his price. But 30-1, on a tournament where 33-1 winners are more than live, I'm quite happy to take Burns at 30-1. And then I've got another one at that kind of price point. I don't know if this is right. I don't know if this is wrong. But for me, Jordan Spieth, when he can move the ball both ways, and he's been talking recently now that he's so confident in the swing that he's built over the last 2 years, he can hit controlled fades, he can hit controlled draws. And it was just noticeable last week that Spieth's approach play was unbelievable. He just could not make a putt. His record here isn't exactly stellar when you look at it, but there's still enough in there to say that he can play this golf course. He's had a 4th and a 9th in 10 appearances. He's had a couple more top 15s, and there's a lot of years where he's actually been right in the mix and fallen away, and that's when he was slashing it round. He was 6th after 54 holes, finished 12th in 2014, 4th after 54 holes in 2019 when his game really was struggling. So 4th going into Sunday, finished 51st. There's a lot of these kind of results. I mean, even last year was 4th after 36 holes, finished 26th. I think Spieth, if he brings his driving and ball striking game that he had last week in Scottsdale, I could see Spieth right at the top of the leaderboard this week at 35-1. And we said this off mic. You look at Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson was probably the ultimate player of this golf course over the years. Bubba loves it, loves Riviera. Where does he play well? He plays well at Augusta. Jordan Spieth played well at Augusta? Yeah, not bad. he plays well, Bubba used to play well when he was on the tour, at TPC River Highlands, the Travellers. Well, Jordan Spieth won the Travellers. Yeah. And, you know, he just plays Bubba golf courses well.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
What about Adam Scott? Brilliant. Like, really, you know, solid Masters record, a Masters winner. He's missed the cut.
Absolutely.
I'm just looking here. He's missed the cut twice since 2002 in the Masters.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Should we be back in Adam Scott this week? No, don't do it. Don't do it. He'll break your heart.
Good price.
I know.
He's an each way bet, Scott, isn't he? I mean, there's worse bets this week than Adam Scott each way.
Well, I was going to wait and keep my powder dry, but I've backed Adam Scott.
There you go.
6-1.
What a segue that was.
Yeah. Teed you up well.
I think he's still competitive on the right course, personally.
Yeah.
20th at the Sony Open, wasn't he? I think this suit's much better than the Sony Open, personally. Twice a winner here. You go back all the way to Nissan Open back in 2005. Won this a couple of years, or 3 years ago, didn't he? As the Genesis. 4th last year. Should have won that Aussie Open back in December. He was 2nd in the end, but 66-1 for an each way chance. I thought it was worth taking for a player that's shown some competitive enough form recently and fantastic course record. And as you say, there's that kind of correlation that seems to marry up with Augusta and you know, these same players who play well at the same courses. It all seems to fit together. Let's hope he doesn't break my heart, Barry, eh?
Hope not. The bet's so logical. I mean, all things point towards placing the bet on him.
Mm.
Somebody explain to me, would anybody ever take 66-1, five places, one quarter of the odds, when there's 66-1, eight places, 1/5 the odds available?
Personally, no. There's calculations you can make if there's a significant differential, but three places for the difference between a quarter and a fifth. Mm. For me, it's the eight place option, which is exactly the way that I've done Adam Scott this week.
I can't take Scott in events where he's a 28-1 shot in a poor field, but in a major or a tournament of this ilk, we said this about Justin Rose, although that actually goes against the argument because he actually won at 25-1 in an awful field at Pebble Beach the other week, but. For me, there's value in backing a Rose at a major or a Scott at a major or a Scott around something like this because you just know at an each-way price, they can place.
Mm.
And they do place.
Yeah.
So, you know, for an insurance each-way bet, it's not a bad shot. Adam Scott is 66-1 right now, eight places each way on the Bet365 each-way extra.
Yep.
Not a bad bet in my humble opinion. Two more for me. I know Barry's itching to get in, although, you know, spoiler alert, we've already told you who he's backing. But I've got 75-1 on Keegan Bradley. He seems to play well on Poa. I mean, he's had a fourth, a fifth and a second at Torrey Pines. That second was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He's also had an additional four top 25 finishes at Torrey Pines. That's crazy. So he seems to be okay with the Kikuyu-Poa mix. I can remember when he was at the peak of his powers, he was first and second at Firestone South, that long tree-lined par 70 up in Ohio that they used to play the WGC at. He's had a second at TPC River Highlands, remember, Bubba Watson, Jordan Spieth. So there's plenty there to kind of think, this should suit him. And then you go back to 2011, 2015, and that for me is when Bradley was at the peak of his powers, winning majors, the PGA. And since then, of course, he went into this kind of up and down mode where, you know, he went for months, if not years, with very little positivity. But right now, he's 21st in the world. That is the highest he's been in the world rankings since 2014. No, He's in an automatic spot right now for the Ryder Cup for Team USA. He's had a real renaissance. And if you go back to when he was truly at the peak of his powers, he was 2nd, 16th, 20th and 4th here across 2011 to 15. Four appearances, 2nd, 16th, 20th, 4th. So you'd look at his recent history here, which isn't great, and think, well, he can't play the course. But then you look at that and you think, well, when he was actually playing proper elite level golf, he was contending here pretty much every year.
Yeah.
So I just thought 75-1 about Keegan Bradley, eight places each way with Bet365, was a bit disrespectful. And I've just noticed he's 66-1 now with Bet365, eight places each way. So he's been nibbled away. Yeah, he's been nibbled. The other one I couldn't resist, and I know this will fire, you know, you two will laugh at me. But you cannot... I cannot deny that this guy is playing probably the best golf of his career right now. This particular individual always has been pretty poor with his approach play. I mean, I'm going to read you out his strokes gained on approach rank since he joined the PGA Tour. 181st, 188th, 185th, 173rd. Now, this year, in this season to date, all of a sudden, he's become 88th in approach category. And believe me, The first two tournaments he played this year, he was seriously negative on approach, so this has been a recent thing. All of a sudden, approach play ranks of 30th at the CJ Cup, 21st at the RSM Classic, 15th at the Farmers. And then last week at TPC Scottsdale, he was 9th for strokes gained on approach, 11th for tee to green. Now, I went back through Wyndham's Clark's results all the way back to when he started on the PGA Tour. That's his best ever performance approach play in 120 PGA Tour starts. And that makes him a danger for me because Clark, unbelievably powerful off the tee, plays a fade, and his results here in 2 years that he's played it, 17th in 2020 and 8th here last year. Sorry, 8th here in 2021. He didn't play here last year. Couldn't get in the field. Says, he grew up on Poana Greens because he grew up in, I think it was Oregon. Loves long golf courses, loves tough golf courses. I love it here at Riviera Country Club. 90 to 1, so I took that. Bet 365 again, 8 places each way extra facility. So Wyndham Clark. So I've got Clark at 90 to 1, Bradley at 75s, Spieth 35s, Burns 30, Morikawa 22 to 1. Over to you, Barry. Take it away.
Well, I don't think I need to reiterate, go over things on Ricky. So just rolling with him. He's paid, you know, he's got me places the last two times I've backed him. Approach game is in great shape. Let's see what happens. The other one that kind of caught my eye last week was Tyrrell Hatton. I backed him last week, got a place, happy days. He was fourth in strokes gained approach, fourth tee to green. Just hitting the ball very well. Let's see, can he catch that little bit more fire on the greens? That'll be the difference. He's a caught weak with the putter, and that would put him right there. So he's 45 to 1. I've kind of defaulted to backing or making all my bets recently in the 12 places market. Just they're available. I know it's 1/9 the odds, but I kind of see the each way returns as a way just to roll you into the next week. Like, we're all trying to catch the win, so I'm seeing a way to maximize the number of places I can get a return on for that week, just to not lose all my bets for the week. So I don't know if it's, I haven't dug into whether it's financially the smartest choice to make, but emotionally it feels fantastic, especially when a guy finishes in that 8 to 12 kind of range, or the 9th to 12th spot. If I had backed him in 8 places, I'd be pulling my hair out. So that's where I'm at. Tyrrell Hatton's 45 to 1. And I'm debating the Wyndham Clark one, Steve.
You genuinely shocked me.
But like,
I thought I knew you, Barry. I thought as soon as I mentioned Wyndham Clark, you'd be poking fun at me.
But if he has a great week off the tee, or a solid week off the tee, he's just given himself so many short looks.
Yeah.
And with the approach game going well, like if he can keep those wedges sharp, you never know.
We've always known with Clark, he's a Luke List kind of player. And remember Luke List won at Torrey Pines last year? He's the kind of player that's prestigiously long, yeah, has a great around the green game because he's used to missing lots of greens. And the thing with Clark is he can putt. He's a very streaky putter. And driving distance, so far this season 6th, last year 4th. I mean, elite driver in terms of length off the tee. If he's actually hitting far more greens with his approach play, which he is, if he has a good week with that driver and a good week with a putter, he's got to be a factor. There's all ifs and buts, but he clearly likes the golf course. It clearly suits his shot shape. You know, he's only played it twice and he's had great results. So yeah, I like Clark. He was one of those ones where I was trying to persuade myself out of it, but in the end it's like, well, you've got to just do it because it all makes logical sense.
Yeah.
It really does. So yeah, I'm on Clark.
I've one more over 100. Yeah, just over 100 to 1. Just the The last 3 weeks, 11th, 15th, 14th, played his first time here at the Genesis last year, finished 21st. Mm-hmm. Taylor Moore is 125-1.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was listening to the Degenerates podcast this morning at 6 a.m. UK time, and Kenny Kim's been putting him in one of his cash king lineup plays for the last couple of weeks, Taylor Moore. Playing some great stuff.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I can see that.
I've got more as well, Barry. It's 7,200 on DraftKings is a great play in my view. Given that he's what 11th, 15th, 14th over his last three starts, and 21st here on debut last year, I think that's a lovely little combination for a player to be part of your lineup who could contribute a decent number of points.
I've got two more things to say, and then we'll move on to yours, Paul. A lot of our American listeners won't know how well Tyrrell Hatton's playing at the moment because all of his play has been on the DP World Tour. But don't forget, MyStroke's game metrics take care of both DP World Tour and PGA Tour events. Mm. He ranks in this field second for off the tee, Tyrrell Hatton. Ninth for approach. He's sixth for tee to green. And he's sixth for strokes gained total over the last eight tournaments. Now, just to put that into context in that strokes gained total, John Rahm and Scotty Scheffler tie for first. Finau at three. McIlroy is tied with Thomas at four. Hatton is tied with Xander at six. Hatton is 45-1 this week. So that is a cracking value bet right there. The other thing I was going to ask you two, for me, Tiger sponsors this event and it was just a superb boost for the PGA Tour to see that Tiger's actually played. For me, it'd be absolutely fantastic to see Tiger make the cut, play all 4 days and look in good health.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Just your views and then we'll move on.
150-1. They'll have some takers at 150-1.
Mm. What about DraftKings? Was he 7-2?
He's in that kind of same bracket as Taylor Moore. It's a difficult one because it'd be an emotional bet from an awful lot of people. We've got no idea how he's playing, no real idea how fit he is. But if he's teeing it up, then you'd hope that he's fit enough to play. For me, not a bet, but it's to observe. Because you're not going to be able to fail to observe because it'll be wall-to-wall coverage, won't he, from start to finish, or Thursday, yeah. Friday at least. Good to see him back.
Really is. You have to think with the lack of golf he's played that maybe he is ready to be able to play four rounds physically, or why would he be doing it otherwise? He's probably very aware that he has a limited number of competitive rounds in him based on where his body's at right now. Maybe his body improves, but there's no point in risking that longevity or whatever longevity has left by just jumping in too early and playing a competition. So hopefully to see him walking reasonably comfortable, hitting some good shots. If he makes the weekend, fantastic. If he doesn't, so what? Nobody really expected him to do anything amazing.
Yeah. Agreed. Right, let's move on to the Thailand Classic on the DP World Tour, Paul. A Master Spring Golf Country Club.
Yeah, just quickly before we go, I have also backed Max Homer on the at Riviera. Mr. California, who's won four of his last seven starts in California, which seems like a strong enough metric to give him another chance at 20-1. I know he's only 20-1, but Max is playing some outstanding golf. Winner here, of course. And in great nick. Not so good last week, but we let him off. Give him a chance this week. So, I'm also on Max. Anyway, yes, let's talk about the Thailand Classic, shall we, as we stay in the east for another week. It's more than that, a few hundred miles north, I guess, from Singapore. field of 132 this week. Jordan Smith is the 20-1 favourite. A little bit of 20-1 out there. Not a great deal. He'll be short on that, I expect, come the start. Nikolai Hogard, 20-1. Bob McIntyre, 22s. Thorbjørn Olsen, 22-1. Antoine Rosner, 25s. Alexander Bjork, Richard Mansell, Adrian Ategui, 30-1 and 35-1, bar those top few players. Boyle Sports, 8 places each way in this standard market this week. That's standout if you are looking across the board at different terms. And of course, as we've been saying, Bet365 have their each way extra proposition running, so you can choose 8, 10, 12 places, whatever you want. Whatever way you'd like to play this week, you have an option there with 365. Now, the venue, as Steve mentions, it's Amata Spring in Thailand. It's a 7,505-yard par 72. It's built around a couple of large lakes and a pretty conventional setup with 4 par 3s and 4 par 5s. Although we've got a real mix of holes in there in terms of length. So the par 5s, they vary from 537 yards, so a properly gettable par 5. The longest one is 617, so a 3-shotter from much of the field. The par 3s, there's a 236-yard par 3, so that'll be pretty challenging, I expect. And then we have the 152-yard 17th, which is a floating green. So I've described it as a floating green rather than an island green because they can physically move this green around in the lake. It's anchored to the lake, but they can unanchor it and move it based on where they want to place this green during the course of the week. So that would be really interesting to see how that works with the dynamics of the tournament. But yeah, that's their signature hole here at Amata Spring and their unique selling point, which I'm sure attracts many a visitor over the course of the year. Now, they've had a recent bunker renovation project here, so the sand traps should be pretty defined and fairly challenging, I expect. It's been turfed with paspalum grass from tee to green, so similar to Abu Dhabi and Ras Al Khaimah recently, if you're looking for some correlation in that respect. Now, we do have some course form here. You have to go back to the Asian Tour. 5 Asian Tour events that were held here between 2011 and 2015. And they have been included in the course stats on the website this week for your reference. Winners were 2011, Lee Westwood at 22 under par. 2012, Charles Schwartzel, 25 under par. 2013 was Sergio Garcia, 22 under par. Westwood won again in 2014, 8 under. That was a tougher, tighter renewal, that one. And 2015, the last time they played it, Jamie Donaldson at 21 under par. So in regular conditions, 21, 22, 22, 25 under par. Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia gives you a good idea of the type of player potentially. This was always the event that we used to joke about, Steve, where Westwood would just disappear off to Thailand and beat up a relatively weak field and boost his world ranking.
I think I can remember Bubba going there regularly, didn't he? Bubba, Henrik Stenson, these kind of guys used to go out to Thailand.
Yeah, if you look through the leaderboards, Justin there was. Rose. Yeah, it was a world ranking payday for a few of these guys back in the day, and a few of them used to play it quite regularly. And so, yeah, there's 5 years worth of data to peruse. Given the weather forecast, I personally expect maybe another 20 under. Winning score. The first 2 days, there is a bit of wind in the forecast, 10 to 15 miles an hour, gusting maybe 20. So that might keep a lid on it the first couple of days. But over the weekend, it looks pretty calm. It should be really quite receptive there. So the weekend scores could be really low. Looks like a bit of a shootout over the weekend. So I expect, again, 20 under would be a good target to get yourself in with a chance of winning on Sunday afternoon. There is some data available. There are some stats from those events, which I've summarised again in my preview. A little bit of length helps here by the looks of it. Judging by the basic stats available from these events, hitting greens is probably the key stat. You need to avoid the bunkers as well by the looks of it. And, you wouldn't put Garcia or Westwood down as the best putters, but when they did win, their putting stats, their putting average stats were really quite good. So to get to 21, 22, 25 under, you're going to need to make enough birdies on the course of the week. So I don't think you can go there with a cold putter either. But yeah, primarily hit greens and find your way around from there. Now, I guess the kind of player who can get to 20, 22, 25 under has probably done it in the past. And if you look at the stats or you look at the history of those four winners from those five events, each one of them had won a previous tournament of some description. In fact, they'd won at least two previous tournaments with 20 under totals or better. So those players have got a previous for having done it. That's probably a good starting point as well. Putting that further into context, Donaldson, when he won here in 2015, he made 31 birdies in total over the course of the week. So what's that birdie conversion of 35%, 38%, something like that for Donaldson? I think you're going to need to birdie at least one in three holes over the course of the 4 days here to get yourself in the mix. So you can't have a cold putter. You're going to need to give yourself lots of looks by hitting lots of greens, getting your proximity just about as well as you can get and take your chances. You need to score in the par fives. Donaldson, again, he was 12 under for the par fives during the course of the week. There's a few short par fours, sub 400-yard par fours as well. So those that you're going to be going in with a very very short iron and need to attack those. So you've got to make hay on the scorable holes, I think. Now, of all those players, all of those five winners, all of the four players and the five wins, each of them had a top eight finish in one of their last six starts. So a little bit of current form seems to be a good starting point as well. Garcia finished second at the Ned Bank the week before. Schwartzel had also finished second at the Ned Bank the week before. Westwood in 2011 had won the Ned Bank on his penultimate start. So you could infer that there's some Ned Bank, that Sun City event, some correlation there. You know, even Jamie Donaldson, he hadn't done it immediately prior to his win, but he does have a runner-up finish at Sun City as well. Could be a complete red herring, but that's another course where I think greens and regulation is the key statistic. It's one to pick out. It's a long course, and hitting greens is the key way to attack that. And again, Westwood's got a fantastic record there. So having won twice here and at least twice at Sun City from memory could be a good starting point. We shall see. But yeah, boil it all down. Birdie making ball strikers. It's got to be an angle, I think, this week. Get yourself to 20 under. Take your chances on Sunday. See where it takes you from there. I've backed five, same as you this week, Steve, five for both of us. I started my team near the top of the market. I've started with Antoine Rosner at 25-1. If we're talking about greens and regulation being a key stat, then Rosner sat third for the full season last year on that statistic. He's 13th for greens and regulation so far this season. And that includes a few poor events too. He's got some challenging results, but he's also won in Mauritius. He was sixth last week in Singapore, so it's a bit up and down, but his up weeks are the ones that we're looking for in particular. He made 22 birdies last week in his way to sixth place. Seventh for driving accuracy, second for greens in regulation, seventh for strokes gained off the tee, 10th for strokes gained tee to green. The long game is really working well for this. When he won in Mauritius, that was 19 under. He's also got a 25 under win. That was at the Golf in Dubai Championship a couple of years ago. So he can get to these particularly low numbers when conditions suit. He went for a stretch last week where he made five birdies on the spin. That was in the second round. I think he's scoring well enough to really make a charge on this week's tournament. So 25-1, quite happy to go with him. And backing up Rosner, I've also backed Marcus Helichild this week at 40-1. Now, he's playing some nice stuff as well. 13th, Raz Al-Khaimah, 17th last week in Singapore. And both times, it was just one bad round, which stopped him from seriously contending. Now, last week, opened with a 73. And after that, only two players in the field beat his last 54-hole total. One of those was Oki Stradom. Marcel Ciem was the other one who beat him. Other than those two, no one beats that final 54-hole total. So if he can eradicate that one bad round, you know, it's always ifs and buts in this game, isn't it? But if he can eradicate that one bad round, put four rounds together, then he's going to come close to winning that maiden DP World Tour title, which I really think is quite possible for Marcus. Fourth at the ISPS Hand World Invitational last year. That's the best he's done so far at this level. He did play those two co-sanctioned PGA Tour events as well last year, 8th and 13th over at the Barracuda and the Barbasol. So, you know, that's decent enough form in this company. And he's got a couple of wins in the Challenge Tour at 23 and 25 under par. So he can go low. Shot 61 and a 62 on the way to the victories at those two events. So I don't think the low scoring this week will put him off whatsoever. The Heli Kilds in. Also like Andy Sullivan and a birdie fest. 55 to 1. I picked him up yesterday with eight places each way. Now, Sullivan, he's right in the mix last week, wasn't he, for the first couple of rounds. Shot 69, then a 65 to get himself into that penultimate group going into the final two rounds. And it just didn't work from there. He trod water for the rest of the weekend. 17th overall, but some really positive signs up to that point. And we know that he absolutely loves these low-scoring birdie fest tournaments. 27 under he won at Hanbury Manor. You remember, seven shots. He was better than the field that week. He absolutely lapped the field of Villamora as well when he shot 23 under to win there a few years back. So when he plays well, when Andy Sullivan is playing his best golf, he can absolutely walk these low-scoring events. So let's hope that's going to be the order of the day this week as well for Andy. 17th also at Abu Dhabi. That was in far better company than this week. Second for strokes game putting that week. Third place finish to his name and the Ned Bank as well, if you had any credence to that in the past. So, yeah, it all seemed to add up nicely for Andy Sullivan. Let's hope he can have a good week. Let's hope Shubhankar Sharma can have a good week as well. Backed him at 70 to 1. A little bit of nibbling going on. He's back into 66s, but it's still a good price, I think. Now, it's been a bit up and down, the talented Indian over the last year or so. Second last year at Abu Dhabi. And that was, again, in really good company. Led strokes game putting there on the Paspalum. But what did he make? 14, I noted in my preview. Missed cuts followed that over the next few months with just the odd paycheck here and there. So his form dropped completely off a cliff after that Abu Dhabi result last year. Then found something at the back end of the year. Third at the Ned Bank. Keeps popping up this Ned Bank link, so let's hope it's right. Seventh to start this year in Abu Dhabi. And then 12th in his last start at the Saudi International. Now, that Saudi International was the one where the Live Boys all descended upon it. So it was a decent quality field. He finished 12th there on his last start. So in some decent form, I think, Shubhankar Sharma. He's won at 20 and 24 under on the Indian Tour. You remember he won the Joburg Open on the DP World Tour. 23 under that was. Maybank Championship he won as well on this at this level, 21 under. So he can get low enough, I think, to contend here. And has got a little bit of practical form here. He played this as a teenager back in 2015. Did miss the cut narrowly. Much, much better player now, Shubhankar Sharma. And finally, I've also taken a punt on Clemens Sordet, the Frenchman, at 100 to 1. Finished second here to Jamie Donson back in 2015. So he is one of the few players in this week's field that does have some positive course form. 24 birdies he made last week in Singapore, tied for 30th overall, but that 24 birdie total was second to Ryan Fox in the field. No one else got any better than that. So he's seen the ball drop far more often than many of his compatriots. And I think when you're going to a birdie fest like this, going to a low scoring event, if you're feeling that birdies are relatively easy to make, then that's a really good starting point. Just needs to get rid of some of the mistakes. There were far too many last week, but perhaps this will be a little bit more forgiving. We'll sort of see. Best effort, second in Oman back in 2019. Second at the South African Open in December. So, I don't think a win's far away for for Sorday, who has won five times on the Challenge Tour. Two of them have come at 20 under or deeper. So again, he ticks that box for me, where you've got some previous of having won a tournament with a resort level winning score. So let's hope, after I've gone down this route, that we don't end up with the polar opposite like we did last week, and it ends up being a three over technical tournament. I really hope not. Anyway, they're my five. Clemens Sordet, Sharma, Andy Sullivan, Marcus Helligkild, and Antoine Rosner. Anyone catch your eye this week, Barry?
Sorry, just coughing off mic. Just a couple of like points. I haven't done much research. Just grab what kind of jumps off the page. So definitely don't follow. I've gone for Jeff Winter.
Okay. Yeah.
Who had 23rd last week, made 19 birdies, 17th 4 weeks ago. So 90-1, take the full 12 places, see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't resist backing Tong Chai JD.
Yeah, he's a long price, isn't he?
Yeah, 150-1, 12 places. Just like, he has, what, in the, just looking at the combi stats here, he's 17th, 10th, 6th, and 30th, were his last four last four times at this event on this course. So, yeah, can't ignore it. He was 17th last week, 12th a couple, 4 weeks ago, so give it a run. It wouldn't shock me or anybody, I don't think, if he popped into like the top 15, 20. So if he can sneak into 12, happy days.
Roll back the years. Could do.
Yeah. So that's as far as I'm going with this. Couple of flyers and see where that lands me.
See where it takes you. Very good. Steve, any catch your eye?
I might as well stick with Schneider. 35-1. 35s with 3, 6, 5, 8 places each way extra. The one also that jumped to my mind, I just looked at Jamie Donaldson and where Jamie Donaldson had won.
Yeah.
I think he'd won the Czech Masters. He'd also won Abu Dhabi, but the old course before they moved to this Lynx course they play now. You look at that, you look at those Abu Dhabi leaderboards, Lee Westwood all over them. Yeah, a lot of players here that have done well in that Thailand Championship.
Yeah.
The one name that just jumped out at me on a leaderboard, and I've dug into it, and he seems to have got results at courses you're mentioning, like Nedbank as well. Done well in Czech Masters, he's done well in Abu Dhabi. Jason Scrivener. So I'm going to put him up at 40-1, 8 places each way with Bet365.
Yeah.
Seems to be in good nick, Scrivener.
Yeah.
Second at the Australian PGA. 18th at the Australian Open. 7th in Abu Dhabi. And then 59th the other week at Dubai. So he's playing good golf.
Yeah, he's well capable. I vaguely remember him winning a tournament by an absolute mile as well. And again, going to these low-scoring events, that's not a bad position to be in.
I'm seeing decent finishes in Hong Kong as well. So he clearly gets on with this kind of part of the world.
Mm.
He's had a third there and another top five in the Hong Kong. I mean, I'm not suggesting that Hong Kong golf course is anything like this, because it isn't. But it's just the those global climbs, the humidity, the grasses, the temperature. So, yeah, Jason Scriven.
Very good.
Is that us? Are we done?
I believe so, yeah. Best of luck, boys.
You too, lads.
Best of luck to you, chaps. Best of luck to the listeners. Honda Swing next week. The Florida Swing next week. The Honda Indeed. Classic, I believe. That'll be bit of a different lineup, I think, to what we've been used to the last couple of weeks. But yeah, Masters not too far away. I hope that your bets go well, and we will be back next week for another Golf Betting System podcast. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. With all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system.